You're listening to We're Only Human, hosted by Ben Eubanks on the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network. We're Only Human focuses and highlights how modern technology and new ways of working are creating a more people-centric workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.h3hr.com.
Hey everybody, this is Ben Eubanks. Welcome to another episode of We're Only Human. Today I'm going to talk about something that, honestly, I'm a little bit passionate about. We usually cover things like that anyway here. Thank goodness for that. It's a chance for me to geek out a little bit and a chance for you to also hear about some of the things that are top of mind for me and for other HR leaders that I connect with. So if you missed it, in a recent episode, I'll grab that number shortly. 297, Steve actually interviewed a chief learning officer about how learning is changing, how learning development is not the same as it was in the past. And it's an area that I've been focusing more on lately. I actually wrote a recent ebook. I'll share the link in a little bit, but it's about the neuroscience of great learning content. And the focus of it, obviously, is how we can create learning content that is engaging and exciting. You know, we can't turn around today without hearing about the employee experience and how we need to be creating this great positive experiences for people so that they enjoy their work, so they stick around, so they're more productive, you know, all those benefits that are associated. So that's the focus. That's the ultimate outcome we're hoping for. But how do we do that? When you think about how learning has been done traditionally, we say, okay, we're going to sit you in a class and you're going to be passive for, you know, 6 hours and we're just going to dump content in your lap and hopefully you absorb it. Or, hey, we've got this library of 2,000 courses. Good luck. Good luck, you know, finding something in there of value. And so it's been kind of set it and forget it for a long time. And I don't know that learning content, impactful learning content, we'll say, is going to fit that model, right? Your people want something different. The business needs something different from L&D. And so let's think about that in a little bit different way. So the three things I want to talk about in terms of the neuroscience of learning content are attention, memory, and exploration. And why neuroscience in general? Well, if we can understand how people learn, why they learn, how that works in their brain, physically, chemically, if we can understand some of those pieces of it, then we can teach them, help them learn, help them grow in ways that aligns with the way they naturally want to learn anyway, instead of trying to work at cross purposes and trying to do something that might not be natural, it might not fit the way that they learn. So by understanding some of those things, we can apply that to better our learning content, to deliver better resources to help them understand more, right? It makes sense. So let's jump into the first one. The first one is attention. How can we get their attention? Right. If we're throwing learning content at them, again, in terms of courses, or if we're throwing stuff to them in terms of instructor-led content, the problem is we are competing with their attention for other things they have to do at work. If you have a high priority deadline from your boss and you have that e-learning you've got to take, we all know what direction we're going to go. Right, especially when it comes out and it's an hour long or it's something, a big chunk of content that's difficult to consume, we're going to default to the other thing, the work task. At the same time, it's also important to realize that when we're trying to encourage people to voluntarily consume learning content, to get better, to be smarter, to improve their performance, we're not just competing with their workload, we're also competing with their entertainment load. We're competing with things like Facebook, we're competing with things like Netflix, because those things demand their attention as well. And there's no guarantee that that person is going to focus on their learning content when those other things are at their disposal. How can we create something that's so engaging, so exciting, that they want to focus on it, that they want to spend their time looking at this and analyzing this and understanding how it can add value to them in the workplace, right? So we know that people don't pay attention to things that are boring, so we should at least deliver something that's not boring at a minimum threshold, but also look for ways to get them actively involved in it. Look for ways to get them engaged in the content. Instead of, for instance, let's say we're going to give some ethics training. I've done this in the past. And instead of saying, here's our list of don'ts, don't do this, don't do that, watch out for this, watch out for that, instead of approaching it that way, say, you know what, here's a scenario. This happened in the workplace, and you have to make the decision on what to do next. How would you proceed? And often, the thing with ethics specifically, is there's not necessarily a right or a wrong answer. Sometimes it's gray. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes there's a coaching opportunity in there to help someone along. So by making it more active where they have to think about it, they're going to dedicate more attention to it. Our brains are wired naturally to avoid, ignore, not even focus on those things that are not pertinent to our survival, right? The first time someone saw their buddy over there get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger, they said, hey, I'm not going to go down that pass. I'm not going to go down that cave anymore because I saw something and I learned from it. We're probably not facing anything that bad necessarily in the workplace, but we need to purposefully create something that grabs their attention, not just flashy for the sake of it, but so that they can actually consume the content, retain the content, and go on. Okay, and speaking of retention, the next concept is memory. Research tells us that people forget a significant portion of what they hear in a period of time, especially if it's passive, if there's nothing to come back and remind them. So the two things we need to do, number one, again, going back to that first concept, we need to make it active. If we can get them actively involved in it so that they're not just sitting back and this content's washing over them, whether it's a speaker or whether it's e-learning, if they're having to actively participate in a discussion, you know, some sort of collaborative exercise, if they're having to think about this and how it applies to their work, they're more likely to retain it. When I think about the times that I'm sitting in sessions and learning from people, the ones that I get the most out of are the ones where I'm actively taking notes, not just copying what they say, but how does this apply? Does this mean that I have to treat this person differently? Does this law mean that this portion of our workforce is now going to be at risk? Thinking about how it applies to you consistently throughout that period as you're receiving the content is going to help you to be more likely to remember it. In addition, come back with things like boosts, coming back, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later with a little question, a little snippet, a little tidbit from the training as a way to refresh that means it's more likely to stick in their long-term memory because you are telling their brain, hey, this is the third or fourth time I've seen this. It's probably important. I should probably remember it. Instead of it being a once a year kind of thing and then we forget about it, it becomes this thing that our brains realize, hey, it's important. So we're gonna hang on to that fact. We're gonna hang on to that key concept because that is important enough that we shouldn't just forget it. We shouldn't just let it go. Shouldn't slip out of our fingers. We need to keep a hold on that. And the third piece of it is exploration. Humans are natural explorers. We want to learn new things, grow, develop, be better, be smarter. All of us, even those people that right now, as I said, that you're thinking, well, not Bob. He's not like that. Or Mary, you know, she's going to settle. She's just, you know, coasting. She's where she is. If they're not doing that in the work context, they're doing it in their life somewhere. You know, they're being a better, you know, matchbox derby race, you know, racer, or they're being a better crochet person. Anyway, they're learning something else personally, even if it doesn't apply to the workplace. So people want to learn and explore. How can we harness that then? How can we use that natural inclination to improve what we're doing? Well, we can give them a chance to explore things. We can also give them a chance to curate some things that they can then share with their peers. They can say, hey, instead of just saying, okay, our leadership courses, there are these 27 things, you can pick one from the list. What if they have the chance to explore that a little bit and then say, you know what, of these, I found these three most helpful. Give them a chance to curate some content and give back and participate again actively. We're coming back to that concept over and over. But give them a chance to do something where they explore, where they get a little bit of direction in it, and they get to have a say in that. That exploration is something, again, we want to do that. We're naturally inclined to do that. And you're just giving them a chance to look at that stuff, whether it's an experiential learning piece, it's an informal, it's social, it's a formal, whatever it might be, any of those, give them a chance to have a say-so in where they want to go. I had a conversation a couple years ago with a learning leader, and he said something really interesting to me. He told me, we don't give away certificates of completion for our training. I said, okay, you know, what do you do? You know, some other snazzy digital badge or something else? He said, no, they can get their certificate, but they have to earn it. I said, okay, well, I've got to hear this, so tell me about it. So what they did is they required people, after you attended a training, you had to go back and start collecting evidence. You had to prove that you learned it by coming back to your leader and showing them evidence that you put into practice those things that you learned. That allowed you to get that certificate And then people actually were proud of those things. It wasn't just a thing you threw in a binder somewhere, you dropped in the trash or whatever. They were really proud of those things because it wasn't just a sign that I endured yet another, you know, 6-hour training class, but that I went to the class and then I actually brought some of that value back in terms of my behaviors, my performance, everything else. Really, again, it goes back to think about those elements we've been talking about. It gets their attention. They're really focused because they're thinking not just of consuming it, but how can I apply this? They're thinking about taking an active part and applying that. It really cements it in their memory because they're thinking about not just the content, but how it applies, what they're going to do with it, what sort of twist or tweak they're going to make it fit their specific work style, their specific work function, those kind of things. It makes it easier for them to remember that long term. And then finally, it gives them a chance to explore a little bit. If the learning content covers, you know, 4 or 5 areas, I might pick one of those to really dive deep into in that proof point that I'm giving back to my leader to show that I can do it. And it gives me a chance to explore those areas that are most compelling, most interesting to me. So again, to run back through those really quick, attention. How can we get people's attention on the content? Memory. How can we get them to retain the things that we're teaching them? And then finally, exploration. Let's give them a chance to explore a little bit, to look around, to find things that they're interested in, that they're excited by, that they're passionate about in terms of learning, because those are the things that are going to help us to create great learning content. And honestly, the goal isn't just to throw great content at people and hope for the best. The goal is to improve business performance by educating, training, developing our people to a level where they can perform even better than they are today. And that's the ultimate end goal. So again, just a quick show today. Just wanted to cover some of those quick concepts because I think there's a lot of value in that, and we need to be thinking about this differently. So thanks to Steve for kind of spurring me a little bit with his recent conversation. Again, if you want to check that one out, the episode is 297 on the HR Happy Hour show. Definitely worth a look. And as well, if you're interested in kind of exploring these concepts a little more deeply, I recently put together a new ebook. You can get that at lhra.io/neuroscience. And I'll also make sure that link's in the show notes. You want to check it out. It's a lot of fun, and we'll give you some good examples and concrete ideas for how to make this apply. Thank you guys for checking out We're Only Human, and I will catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to We're Only Human with Ben Eubanks on the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network. To learn more and to listen to the show archives for We're Only Human and all the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network shows, go to www.h3hr.com. And remember to subscribe to the HR Happy Hour Network podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or your favorite podcast player app.